freaks and geeks, what's up? We welcome you into the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. James Coe here with you, joined alongside, let me just say this, by the way, as well. I say it every show, Fantasy Freaks and Geeks. Listen, if you're listening to this podcast right now, first of all, God bless you.
Get a life. No, don't. Keep listening.
God bless you. But man, you do have to be a little bit of a fantasy freak and or geek to be listening to this fantasy podcast.
We appreciate you.
Oh, listen, I love you. Love you. But yes, we will continue to have a couple podcasts a week here for the foreseeable future. We'll reevaluate once we get into the combine season. But as we go right now, we welcome you in and joined alongside by the franchise.
Yo.
Franciscovich. What's up, man?
Just enjoyed our first technically like actual weekend off in a few months here.
It was pretty cool.
I didn't come into work Sunday. They don't let us into the building on Sunday once the postseason starts. So, but it was nice. It was nice to spend two actual weekend days off.
And the thing is, the games are all staggered, so you can watch all the games now, too.
Yep.
Know what I mean? Without having to channel surf or whatever it is.
Got to get the chores done first and then park 100%. On the couch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It was good. It was a good relaxing weekend.
WizKid from Wisconsin, Alex Gilhart, what's going on?
I'm in the midst of basically like a family vacay. I'm here for like 2 days, and then my mom's coming out today, and my sister comes out on Wednesday, and then I'm taking off the rest of the week because they always like to escape the terrible weather in Wisconsin. So even though it's like kind of chilly here today, this is like – I think when my dad, because we were in Vegas briefly this weekend, when he landed in Vegas, it was like 60 degrees, and he was like, this is a 90-degree temperature change from where I just came.
90 degrees.
Because it was like negative 30 with the wind chill.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
So, yeah, they like to come out here in January. And
they'll take a little rain.
Yeah, with our schedule laxing up a little bit, I'm able to just sneak out of here for a few days. So we're gonna go up to Santa Barbara, and the old man and I were hanging out watching some football this weekend.
You guys going
to
do a little wine tasting?
Do a little wine tasting. It's good times up there.
Nice.
Absolutely. All right, we got the wide receiver prognosticator himself. We've got Matt Harmon in the building. What's up?
Yo, I was here on Sunday, despite the fantasy season being dead. You can still watch me on Blitz Sunday morning. Promote myself here.
The old Twitter show.
Talking about next-gen stats and such.
Okay.
It's been fun. I should probably be on again next week unless I blow it between now and then, which is quite possible.
It's very possible.
Are the reviews in yet? Have you officially blown it?
No. Not yet. But like
sometimes there's a slow turnover on the weekend days, and you know your show might get canceled tomorrow morning.
So far, haven't blown it yet, but
good.
It's the playoffs are young.
We're rooting for you.
Nice.
Producer Chris.
Hey, guys.
Behind the glass.
What up?
What's up? How you doing, pal?
I'm good.
Yeah?
A little rainy today, huh?
Yeah.
I actually drove into work. I didn't want to walk and have the rain pour down on me.
I like how, like, a couple days ago on the local news here, you know, the bomb cyclone on the East Coast.
Bomb cyclone.
Like, everyone, it's like end of days on the East Coast.
Yep.
And I saw one of the local, like, the NBC LA channel, the weather guy was like, well, the first storm of the year coming
storm
up.
Watch.
Like, storm watch. Lost, like, Southern California. And they're like, it's going to rain for a day.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, storm watch.
It's not even really rain.
Yeah, give me a break.
Hey, did you guys notice watching the Falcons-Rams game how slick the grass
the
was?
Field.
Yeah.
People were slipping all over the place.
Everyone was, like, trying to figure out what was going on. It's just, like, I think that marine layer.
Yeah,
like,
it was
that,
a little weird yesterday. Yeah.
Talking to Kirk Morrison, he's like, yeah, man, there's never been a playoff game here in Name January. Drop. People don't know.
So. Wow.
It's true. And franchise, to your point, too, it's true. The local news tonight will be in L.A. will be team coverage.
Oh, yeah.
Of Stormwatch.
I'm surprised you even made it in here.
B-roll of, like, raindrops hitting puddles and whatnot.
100%.
I love helicopter.
Man on the street interviews. Here we go.
Yeah.
Let's go.
This man using an umbrella today. Like, oh, gosh.
Sir, how did you survive?
Yeah.
I'm really shocked you made it in.
Yeah, well,
like
yeah.
Because the freeway becomes a hellacious like mixture of confusion.
Oh, it's
and
just
death.
Straight up Mad Max. Yeah. Any sort of inclement weather on the roads in here.
And you already have issues with punctuality in general.
That's very true. No, and to be 100% honest, I just want to be 100% clear.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It was not. It was semi-traffic related, not really, but it was semi-traffic. It was more the fact that I spent the entire weekend in Vegas.
Yeah,
oh,
that'll do.
What?
Yeah.
more.
You guys were both in Vegas this weekend?
Yes, I was there with my just my wife and my daughter. But
what the hell were you doing there?
Still found time to get the old booze on.
Nice.
Obviously.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. So it was good.
Awesome.
Yeah. So it was more related to that.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay.
Understandable.
Great show in front of us here today. Going to be talking about Playoff Challenge. If you have not played Playoff Challenge, you should start a lineup today.
Thought your chance fantasy season was over?
It's not.
Wrong, idiot. It's not.
Talk a little bit about Playoff Challenge. But the cool thing about Playoff Challenge, it allows us to talk about, I shouldn't say allows us, but, you know, it's a nice little window into talking about playoff football as well from a fantasy perspective. So why the hell not? We're going to talk about things I learned in 2017, a column penned by Marcus Grant. We'll talk about major takeaways that he had in 2017 as well. And Matt Harmon penned a column as well. Targets and touches, takeaways from 2017. He will give us a couple of stats from 2017 in terms of targets and touches that he found to be interesting. How we can spin those forward towards 2018. We'll close out your show with a round of Daily Dafts, but we'll start your show with your top fantasy headlines.
News.
I don't watch the news.
News.
I like turtles. The Bills just lost to the Jags. Speculation now that Tyrod could be done in Buffalo. Where would you like to see him land from a fantasy perspective? We'll start with you, Matt Harmon.
You know what? I'm going to just go pessimistic right away, and I don't think he ends up anywhere as a starter.
Oh.
Kind of with you on that.
Yeah. I don't think that, or at least not a clear-cut starter. I think maybe he could go somewhere that
and
doesn't.
Compete.
Yeah, and compete. Like, doesn't, you know, hypothetically say, probably, like, whoever loses out on the Kirk Cousins sweepstakes and, like, wants to then, like, or not wants to, but is then forced to roll in with the same guys that they were growing out there with in 2017 and also wants to add Tyrod to the mix. But, you know, I mean, I've always been a fan of Tyrod Taylor. I want him to be the starter in Buffalo back when he signed there, and he, you know, came through with that. He's been the starter for multiple years, but he's still a flawed player. And the Buffalo's offense, obviously he doesn't have a lot of talent around him. This averaged less than 16 points in their last, I think, five or six games, was
right.
It so they're not that good of an offense with him under center, and I think he's just
got no wide receivers.
Yeah, I know that, but at the same time, like, he still in some ways does limit what you can do on offense. Mm-hmm. And it's just pretty clear, no matter what you or I or anybody else thinks of Tyrod Taylor, it seems like multiple coaching staffs have come through there and been like, we want to upgrade on this guy. So it's just hard for me to imagine that somebody's going to go out there, pursue him, and make him a clear-cut starter. So I think we will see him start games in the NFL again, obviously, but I don't think he's going to sign somewhere and be a clear-cut starter.
Oh, that breaks my heart. The thing about Tyrod Taylor, I just don't understand. You watch him play. You look at the numbers. This guy's a good player. I'm confused by the whole Tyrod Taylor thing. It's just – is it because he just wasn't a high draft pick? I mean, I don't get the deal.
Well, he's a good player, but he doesn't move the offense, really. Like, it's not the
he's
Bills
not
haven't...
a he's not a singular, you know, force on offense, if that's what we're talking about, but he's a good player. I mean, if we're in a league that's so quarterback thirsty, it's just so crazy that we got a guy that is, look, I don't care what you think about Tyrod Taylor, if he's not one of the if in your mind he's not one of the 20 best quarterbacks in this league, I think you need to reevaluate your evaluation system. He's got to be one of the 20, at least one of the 20 best quarterbacks in the NFL. I mean, there are some bad starters out there.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm just going through it, and 20 even gets a little thin because we've had a resurgence, and that's the trouble. Is projecting him is that a lot of the quarterback openings aren't as dire now because you got Jimmy G getting a shot, you have Jared Goff stepping up, you have other guys making the strides, and you have a rich quarterback class at the top of the draft this year, potentially with a lot of franchise guys. I mean, the only conceivable openings are like, I mean, the Bills spot will be open if he stays there, Arizona because Carson Palmer's retiring. But other than that, I mean, in the Broncos, whoever gets Kirk Cousins, Washington.
I wouldn't mind seeing him in Arizona, actually.
Washington actually is kind of intriguing because if Kirk Cousins leaves, they have – I mean, that's the crazy thing about the whole Kirk Cousins thing. They have no plan. Like, I don't know what the hell they're thinking. If they let Kirk walk out the door, Colt McCoy's going to start games for them? Like, that's what they're looking at.
Jay loves Colt.
Yeah, he does. No, I mean, it will not surprise me if he opens the season as Washington's starting quarterback, just because they do love him there. Like, they've got nothing going on, so they could pursue like a upper tier free agent quarterback like a Tyrod Taylor,
right.
if they don't if
and
they got Cousins.
The Tyrod thing goes both ways because he does, and as Tony Romo highlighted in that game, miss a lot of open receivers at times, but he also has the ability to make great throws, and his
sure.
receivers let him down, which is yeah. it's tough to take too much from how like inept their scoring offense was down the stretch when his top three receivers were a guy they traded for midseason,
yeah.
a guy they signed off
and got injured.
And got injured, a guy they signed off the street in like week 8
right.
or 9 in Deontay Thompson, and then an overmatched second-round pick, Zay Jones, who had one of the worst catch rates in like NFL history for a pick that high.
History. I mean, yeah. it was bad.
So
36%.
It's like, yes, he
Charles
missed,
Clay was in and out of the lineup.
Was in and out. So, yes, he's missing throws as well. But also, if you flash back to when it was him, Sammy, and LaShawn, and they were all healthy, that offense for
they
a
were,
stretch a couple
good,
years
yeah.
ago was averaging like 30 points a game. So, it's he's not a perfect player. He doesn't have all the answers. But he in fantasy, if he goes to a team like Washington that has a healthy Jordan Reed, Josh Doctson, Jameson Crowder. Like
working with Gruden.
Let's work him with a good offensive mind in Gruden. Yeah. We'll see what happens.
He is – the problem with for Tyrod is that he's the two things that I think drive NFL teams crazy is, one, they always feel like they can do better, which, again, is when you look at the landscape of quarterbacks, you might be like, I don't know about that, buddy. Like they definitely he gives you legitimate reasons to think you can upgrade on him. So he sticks you in quarterback purgatory, which I think drives some teams crazy. And also a lot of coaches want you to run their offense, and
right.
he can't run every single offense out there. I mean, especially like the system that he's been in this year. I don't know if that's the correct one for him, like a real timing-based West Coast system, but, you know, that drives coaches crazy. So that's why I just think, like, again, it doesn't really matter what you or I or anybody else thinks about Tyrod. I think the NFL has already kind of told you what they think about quarterbacks like this, and he will not, like, most likely, I don't think, end up as a clear-cut starter.
Speaking of non-clear-cut starters, how about Alex Smith in Kansas City? Reports that the Chiefs are now open to trading Smith away. This came actually before Kansas City suffered a brutal, I mean, just a brutal gut-punch home loss Saturday, blowing an 18-point lead to the lowly Tennessee Titans. Patrick Mahomes would be your 2018 opening day starter if this came to fruition. But again, reports that KC looking to potentially move Alex Smith in a trade. Again, this is just one of those things. Good teams, when you think about if you have an embarrassment of riches, even at the quarterback position, good teams find a way to let their veteran guy kind of sort of age out or maybe play himself out. That's not the case,
yeah.
I think, with Kansas City and Alex Smith. And again, I mean, Patrick Mahomes, I think, looked good in the preseason. I think it'd be fair to say he looked, you know, I guess above average. You certainly saw the arm strength.
The arm talent is certainly above average.
The rest of the game
needs to catch up.
And again, yeah, who knows, right? But, I mean, it could be a situation where he's a couple years away. I don't know. When I hear this story, I just shake my head because, I mean,
same.
It's a clear cut. Look, you bring Alex Smith back for 2018. You let him start. You know, if he gets injured, Patrick Mahomes steps in.
Yeah.
If he absolutely falls apart, you put Patrick Mahomes in. You don't trade.
Yeah.
Alex, you just don't do that.
The only thing that I would argue about that is if they think they can strike right now while the iron's hot
and get a first.
If they can get a first, I mean, then I think it's worth
at least entertaining.
It's at least considering. I don't think they should. I think it would be the incorrect move. I'm
yeah.
with you, but in their mind, just to play devil's advocate, I think they can see, like, we strike now while the iron's hot. He's coming off a career best year. He's best deep pass in the NFL last year. They get a team to give him a first-round pick, which, you know, I can kind of understand from another team's perspective. They start rolling with their young quarterback. I think if yesterday had just shown that this team has definitely hit its ceiling, like, they think they have more room to go. And if they can get a first-round pick for it, then I get it. Because if that scenario plays out, which you just outlined, that next year they bring him back and then Mahomes is starting by the end of the year, they're not getting a first round pick for Alex Smith and they just let him walk out the door.
You know,
I tell you what though, if they do get rid of Smith, I'm going to be a little more concerned about the fantasy fortunes of this team.
Oh yeah,
sure, yeah.
I think also importantly we saw not just only at their ceiling, but like because of their offensive depth, their margin for error is razor thin.
Yes.
If they lose one of Kelce,
as
Hunt,
we saw on Saturday,
or Tyreek Hill, that
right.
offense becomes it's so versatile with all of them, but it becomes much more concentrated in just a couple people that it's easier to take away.
I mean, it's crazy because it is concentrated already. It's, as you mentioned.
Right. It's those three
guys. That's it.
And when you take one of them out at any time, that's when that offense really starts to falter.
Yeah.
Like when they couldn't get Kareem Hunt going for a stretch and lost like four out of five games
right,
or whatever.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
you take away any one of those guys, and then so you're gonna kick Alex Smith out, potentially put in a young, unproven quarterback who's going to be a little bit more erratic. Because that was the best part about that Alex Smith offense, though, is he didn't make mistakes.
Yes.
Like, yeah. he didn't force them into bad scripts, bad situations. That's so right. I would be a lot more concerned about Kelce and Hill, especially if Mahomes is under center next year.
And, like, Alex Smith is a guy that we were talking about in the MVP conversation the first half of the year.
Right.
They're just going to trade this guy away when they have this window with
That's
all
exactly
this
right.
We saw this
That's
offense
exactly right.
really explode this year, you know what I'm saying? And,
yeah.
like, they were scoring tons of points in the first few weeks. And it's like if they go to Mahomes now, they're
starting
they start over.
They're starting over.
No,
yeah.
like you want to see how far you can go with a guy like Alex Smith, who's clearly a super talented quarterback.
I think
Mahomes needs more development.
And it's sad to me, too, because, you know, that last throw that he had to, was it Albert Wilson at the very end?
Yeah.
That was a dime. And Albert Wilson just straight up mistimed his jump.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
yeah.
what it really came down to. But that was an unbelievably good
that was a great throw.
Yeah.
And Albert Wilson just mistimed his jump. That's what it was, you know. And it's like, you know, you can't blame Albert Wilson because, look, it's in double coverage. I mean, there's a lot of things going on. It's deep downfield. Again, it's in double coverage. That's fine. But, man, that was just a great throw. And it just – it hurts me, you know, because KC, I thought, had a great season this year.
Yeah.
And Alex Smith had a terrific season. And for the team and maybe the media to unfairly put this on him and say, oh, maybe KC could take a step forward with Mahomes. I just
take a step forward?
I just don't get it. You know what yeah. I mean?
They finally unlocked the offense.
I know. I agree. Can we talk about – can we react to the Mariota touchdown pass to himself?
Sure.
I don't know if I've ever seen that. That would have literally, in fantasy, that would have counted as two touchdowns.
Would have been nice if it happened during the season.
It's happened a few times. Brad Johnson threw a touchdown
yeah,
to himself in
Gruden
Minnesota.
Was talking
oh,
about it.
Oh, that's right.
It's rare because you have to be – the quarterback, you have to be in the red zone, basically.
Yes.
The pass has to get batted, and you just have to have enough
You have to be in the shotgun,
to
too.
And you have to be in the shotgun because you have to be an eligible receiver.
Pretty much, yeah.
Insane.
So, and an athletic quarterback like Mariota, too.
That play was hilarious. But yeah, if that was in the regular
runner,
season.
Well, apparently, Brad Johnson did it. He's no athlete.
All right, sure.
So it's hilarious. It's never anything to count on. I love how my mentions immediately, I didn't see the play because I was on a plane back to L.A. But
oh,
when
okay.
I got back, I just pulled up Twitter. And because I was like, we're looking at the stats. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Mariota threw a touchdown
and he caught
to
it.
Himself.
Yeah.
So then I pulled
right.
it up, and everybody's like, how does that touchdown work?
I don't know why.
It would have double counted.
I think he had 24 points in playoff challenge if you used him. So I think it would have counted as a pass and throw touchdown to himself twice.
Yep.
Oh,
yeah.
This is where PPR matters.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
all those
sure.
times we mess with people
PPR.
When we get the PPR quarterback questions. Here we go.
This is it.
He would have had 25 in PPR instead of 24.
Okay. This
now
is
we
it.
Know.
Now we know.
Would have been nice.
It was a cool play. Super athletic, too, for him to be able to catch a batted pass
and
dive in.
And didn't fumble in on the pylon like we saw happen.
That's true, because he dove out there. Yeah.
He made sure to hold on. Would have been nice if he did that at some point during the regular season. So bad as a fantasy quarterback.
Let's talk about Titans offense real quick, though. Because this was kind of what I think we all hoped we would see from them this season.
Yeah.
And it's so frustrating that it took two events for them to turn into an up-tempo attack. One of it is that obviously
they had to fall behind.
Well, DeMarco Murray doesn't come. He's injured.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they put
their
best running back.
Henry's
in the
a starter.
That was apparent.
Exactly.
Although there was one time during the game where Henry blew a pass block.
Yeah.
And I could even just hear the malarkey and the coach staff on the sideline like, see? That's why we have that vet back there. And like to a point, that's true. But nevertheless, they get their best running back into a rhythm against a bad defense, and he just rips them apart.
Yeah.
And also, they fall behind, and they have to go up-tempo. And like it's just depressing knowing that next week they're going to go to New England.
And just get smashed.
And they're going to go right back into that shell again to start. Because if they come out and they go up-tempo and they feed Derrick Henry 20-plus touches, I mean, they got a shot to compete, not get blown out.
they're going to
go into it and they're going to be conservative. And Murray might be healthy. And I just hope next year.
I think they've announced that.
If Murray's healthy next year, is going to be so frustrating.
Next week.
Murray ends up getting cut probably because he's making
He's going to be a cap casualty, which would be good news for Derrick Henry in fantasy next year.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. I think there was a report that Derrick Henry is slated to start actually on Sunday.
Next week.
Yeah, against the Patriots. So we'll
see. How could you?
Guys, the Titans, they've been outscored 126-29 in their last three meetings against the Pats.
So, my goodness.
126-29.
One of those games, though, caveat, Jeff Fisher, 59-0. I was like,
holy
five,
hell.
6 years
I got
ago.
Yep,
but
I
so the other ones were blowouts as well.
Okay. That skews it a little bit, but that still doesn't help.
Wow.
They're gonna get absolutely smashed.
My hope for this offense next season is that Mike Mularkey, clearly, like, which is, you can really dive into what poor, like, logic this is, that he goes into this last week's game clearly on the hot seat. Like, I think if Tennessee had lost that game, they would have fired him.
Yeah.
Which is then crazy. Like, now they have to come out with a statement, like, we're bringing him back next year, which, again, you can really dive into what a curious logic that is. But he's coming back. Hopefully, my hope for him is that he sees, like, this, you know, career near-death experience of being the Titans head coach here. Get a second chance. Like,
he's not going to.
You saw a flash of light. Like a Ron Rivera.
Yeah, I'm hoping like a Ron Rivera type epiphany where he sees, like, okay, I cannot. Like, I've got to do something different with this offense, whether it's bring in a new OC, be more up-tempo, make things easier on my quarterback. Like, that, you've got to do it, man, because you just – can't go with this board. Like, they're struggling with two identities. I mean, you have players like Rishard Matthews saying, like, sometimes you got to work around coaching. Or
Delanie Walker
said that, and then Rishard Matthews was the one who said, like, we got to let Marcus just call the plays. And, like,
you
got to see the signs here. One would hope.
They
have the personnel to have a very fun offense. If they 100%. Feature Rishard and Corey Davis and get Tywan Taylor in the slot instead of Eric Decker, and then you feed Derrick Henry, and like you go up tempo.
Eric Decker.
I was told that Eric Decker was an elite top five wide receiver. That's what I was told.
Yeah, 2 years ago, you clown.
Also,
the argument was top 20. Don't move the goalposts.
It was 2 years and like eight surgeries.
Yeah, he had like a crazy hip injury last year.
That's what I was told.
He scored a touchdown. So
yeah, that's true.
Did it happen?
It happened.
Fantasy points. That's all that matters.
True.
Josh Rosen, speaking of this young quarterback class, Alex Gilhart, Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, they declared for the draft last week. They are expected to go somewhere, both of them, is somewhere in the top 10. Your top six picks, the Browns, the Giants, the Colts, the Browns again, the Broncos, and
That's
the Jets.
Funny.
So the Browns got two top four picks. But you start looking at teams that might need a quarterback. The Giants certainly might be there if they part ways with Eli Manning. The Broncos certainly will be in the market for a quarterback again.
The Giants are not going to part ways with Eli Manning, by the way. He's going to be on the team next year. They still might take a quarterback, but he's going to be on.
The Browns are going to take Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold. Let's see which one works
and
out.
And the Jets are there as well.
So awful.
The Jets almost assuredly are taking a quarterback at the top.
Yeah.
McCown's a question mark just because he had that, you know, broke his wrist at the end of the year or something?
Some kind of hand arm thing.
But so, like, he played really well last year.
Oh, he did play well.
He would be a great veteran to have come back again and mentor a young QB like that because he's done that a number of times.
Or hell, even if he starts eight games, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
So there you go. Sure. So I would imagine Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold. My early takeaways are that Sam Darnold, I don't think, is going to play very well in the NFL, at least for the first couple of seasons. Josh Rosen, I don't know. He definitely needs to get into the right system. I'm only saying this because, look, I'm a big Pac-12 guy. Josh Rosen, UCLA, Sam Darnold, USC. I've seen unbelievable number of games from both of these guys. But Josh Rosen's got to get into the right system with the right coaching staff as well. If he gets in with the wrong guy, there's going to be a major clash of personality, so we'll see. But Sam Darnold, obviously, he reminds me of Jameis Winston. You know what I mean? Where he's going to have one of those 25 interception seasons in the NFL. The arm talent is certainly there, and he will make some plays where you're like, holy hell, this guy might be the truth. And then the other times where, you know, throwing it to quadruple coverage.
You get like 2017 Rose Bowl or whatever, Darnold, and then
exactly.
You also get like three turnover.
It's crazy.
Sam Darnold.
James, what would you say to a Hugh Jackson, Josh Rosen marriage?
Absolutely
no,
not.
Just Hugh to nobody.
Absolutely, 100% no. That would be absolute a career killer for Josh Rosen.
Well,
he'd straight away.
There'd be so much smoke blown up his. You know, during the off season, that from Hugh to Rosen, and then by week eight, it'd be like, I don't know if this guy's ever going to get it. You know, I'm calling my plays. Like, Hugh Jackson, by the way, like I wrote the coach speak
narratives
on Friday, and hopefully we could talk about that on a different episode of the podcast because it's
on Thursday.
Fun.
That's what we're gonna be doing.
Well, you're so smart.
Yes.
I wouldn't know. I won't open up the rundown till 7:50 a.m. on Thursday morning. But you
actually,
Jackson,
if you were very proactive and you clicked on Thursday's rundown, you would already see it already punched in there.
Oh, wow. You're ahead of me.
What a peek behind the curtain for our fans. I was talking about Google Doc rundowns.
Exactly.
You have a point to make, Harmon.
Well, I just wanted to say, like, Hugh Jackson
is the worst.
Oh, my God.
He's the worst.
The literal worst. I was already sick of this guy coming into writing that piece. And
then you relived all the awful coach speak things he said.
Like, there's one I included in there, him talking about Duke Johnson. And the whole time, like, I've never read a piece from, like, months ago and just actively, like, saying to myself, shut the hell up.
There were a lot. We were all helping Harmon compile that piece, and we were, like, digging through old Roto World and old news articles we had saved. And Hugh Jackson just kept getting littered in that.
I had all, like, individual storylines and then just one section, things that Hugh Jackson said.
Wow.
There's at least four examples in there. But anyways, we'll get to that on Thursday. But just my point is, like, woof. Like, that's going to just be a not fun situation getting paired with Hugh for whichever quarterback goes number one. But, by the way, like, there's like, five quarterbacks that could be first-round picks in this class.
Sure.
It seems like that are going to – that's going to be –
Lamar Jackson's going to be in the mix.
Allen.
Josh Allen's going to be in the mix from Wyoming.
Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield certainly will be in the mix from Oklahoma. I mean, it's going to be, you know, it's a deeper class. There's question marks as to whether or not any of those guys will be elite talents in the NFL, but certainly I think all of them can be starters.
It will remind me. It reminds me a little bit of how the 2012 class went, where there were a lot of quarterback needy teams and a relatively deep class, and like a lot of teams took, because we had like four or five quarterbacks go in the first round in that 2012 class.
The Luck class,
because it was Griffin. Luck, Griffin, Tannehill, Whedon, and
Whedon, holy shit.
Yeah, Whedon went in the first round. Somebody else I'm forgetting,
right.
I think somebody, or maybe there was a second round pick we lumped.
No, Russell Wilson was a third round.
Oh, yeah, third round pick. That was who it was, the other big one. So, like, you know.
God, Russell Wilson went in the third round and Brandon Whedon went in the first
round. Hey, because Russell Wilson is too short.
He's too short.
Brandon Whedon is like as old as.
Yeah, he was like 28.
I'm still younger than him when he got drafted.
I'm pretty sure he was older than Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers had been starting for like 2 years when he got drafted.
He was 27 when he got drafted.
It was craziness. Dude.
Jeez.
John Gruden announced as the Raiders' new head coach. Spider 2, why bananas all day long? Early thoughts on how it might impact Derek Carr.
I don't know.
Go ahead.
It's just hard. It's hard to draw anything from this right now because Gruden hasn't coached in 9 years. Granted, he knows it well. And when he was at his peak in Oakland, he had a top 10 scoring and yardage offense 3 years in a row. But then in Tampa Bay, he didn't have his quarterback situation as figured out. So the trouble with there's so much in question with him coming back. Like, one, how's he going to assimilate back into the job? And two, like, what is he going to be able to get out of Derek Carr and Amari Cooper, his, like, top two players in that offense, who both had objectively very bad disappointing years.
Seasons, man.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of Carr, like, he can only go up from this season. It was a terrible year, like you said. But, like, he was coming back from a broken leg last year. He broke his back halfway through the season and played, like, a week later.
So why didn't he get it going? Broken leg, broken back. What's the problem?
I don't know. And it's just, like, I think Derek Carr has some of these, like, leadership qualities. Remember that sound effects episode last year when he broke his leg and, like, he was like, oh, it's broken, it's broken. And he was super calm. And it just, like, showed he has these leadership qualities and his team kind of rallied around him.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, what happened to that guy this year? Like, was his confidence shot?
I think it's the injuries, you know? I think it's
those things add up. They change offensive coordinators this year.
Yeah.
I mean, Carr only had 6 picks last year. Mm. So, like, he has it in him, and I don't think Jack Del Rio was the guy to, like, steer this ship with Carr as the quarterback. And I think it's, you know, the Raiders, they gave him, John Gruden, a 10-year contract, which is pretty outrageous.
Let's go.
So By the way.
They believe, but.
Over under, does he make it 3 years?
Gruden? I'll take the over on that just because it's too much.
Yeah. Okay, he doesn't over under. It's all backloaded too because in Vegas taxes,
right?
They've made it so he's going to get all his money.
Oh, that's an interesting note. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't know that. Because I was going to say, like, I don't
ain't going anywhere.
Producer Chris with the contract nuggets there.
I mean, if they fire him, it's all guaranteed, right?
Yeah, it's all guaranteed.
So it goes back to TV. It's fine.
But that's what I'm saying. I don't think he's just going to up and leave the job. I just. anyways, but that's kind of
I think
off-topic.
He actually might. I think he might. I think he'll get tired of it.
But anyway,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Think, like, I don't think he – there's no way he makes it 10 years.
Oh, yeah, 0% chance he gets 10 years. Oh, yeah, 100%.
I would say he barely makes it half. But beyond that, I think with the Raiders this year, just to go back to your point about Derek Carr, I think – I really think – you know, I don't have any sources on this or whatever, but just reading the tea leaves, I think the locker room was in crisis this year too. I think you can tell just by the way, like – I think which one of our reporters had it that, like, there was – oh, was it Mike Silver that
Weich
said –
Weich or somebody? That, or,
no, yeah, it was Weich that said, like, when
Del Rio got fired.
Del Rio got fired, like, there were no tears shed. Like,
Yeah.
The offense even seemed, like, celebrate, like, still, like, laughing and joking around afterwards. Yeah. Like, and the way, like you said, they fired Bill Musgrave, who had like, obviously led them to a pretty good season last year on offense.
Yeah.
Then they promoted, I think it was Todd Downing, because they had it kind of in their head, like, the same way that it was with, like, Dirk Cutter in Tampa Bay, where they're like, we got to promote this guy. Like, we don't want to lose him. But obviously it was the wrong move. And
yeah.
I also think, too, like, when you go back to thinking about, like, the days of, like, the – feels like 1,000 years ago, like, all the anthem protest controversy, like – I think that there were some disagreements about the way they handled that, because you can even remember, like, when they were losing to Washington, I think it was on Sunday Night Football or Monday Night Football, like, Derek Carr breaks the huddle and it looks like there's nobody's listening to him.
Yeah.
I think the locker room, I think the locker room was just in a little bit of crisis, and I think that's what led to this. So hopefully that's the thing Gruden needs to go in there and reinstall, like, the culture.
He needs to lay down some law.
Which, hey, this happens with the Raiders. This has happened with the Raiders all the time. This is what Del Rio came in there to do, like, reestablish the culture. And another team has to come in there and do it.
And I will say, just for fantasy too, like, I don't think we should overrate the fact that Gruden's coming back. It's not a situation like with McVay going to the Rams, where there was a very clear recent track record, or, like, you know, Kyle Shanahan going to the Niners, a very clear recent track record of excellent offense and stuff. I think all these guys are probably going to come at a steep discount in fantasy drafts and probably just wait and take them there next.
Yeah. Guys, we have breaking coaching news.
What's up?
The Bears, they're expected to name Chiefs offensive coordinator Matt Nagy.
Wow.
That's good for them.
Wow. According to Adam Jantz of the Chicago Sun-Times.
That was quick.
Not good for the Chiefs.
Well, what a rise for Matt Nagy.
This is the time when a lot of these coaching moves happen, though. Teams get bounced from the playoffs, and those guys that are doing interviews are like, yeah, let's do this.
Wow.
Yeah.
Patricia's going to coach the Lions, right?
Potentially.
Yeah, they did not interview Josh McDaniels. So,
right. And I guess they have to wait till the Patriots are.
But I think they. I think
postseason
just re- again reading the tea leaves, like, it seems like they want to establish, like, a defense. They want to. They want a Patriots guy in there, for one, because their GM comes from that branch, and they. But they want to keep their offensive play calling intact with Jim Bob Cooter and Matt Stafford, because they like each other. Just a note on Matt Nagy. I think it was Andy Reid at one point said. And this says a lot about Andy Reid, you know, with a long history of coaches, John Gruden included, that come from that branch of his tree. He said Matt Nagy's the best head coaching candidate that I've ever been around.
Wow.
So that's high praise.
That's very good stuff. All right. Let's talk about playoff challenge. If you had Todd Gurley, Kareem Hunt, Travis Kelce, Cam Newton, Greg Olsen.
I did.
How do you replace them?
Haven't you guys ever done this before?
How do you replace them?
No. Yeah, you have.
Playoff challenge. Who do you got taking it to the Super Bowl game now? Again, I'll run down the four games here. It's Jacksonville taking on Pittsburgh. It's Tennessee about to get slaughtered by New England, so don't take any Tennessee Titans.
Deion Lewis, baby.
Oh, yeah.
It's Atlanta taking on Philadelphia. It's New Orleans at Minnesota. That's a game that I've got. Oh, man, I cannot wait.
That's going to be fun.
That game's going to be awesome.
That's going to be a good game. All right, so, again, if you had Todd Gurley, Kareem Hunt, et cetera, how do you replace him? We'll start with you, Alex Gilhart.
Well, for me, I had some Rams on the NFC side to pair with my Steelers, and I, this morning, loaded up on Vikings afterwards. I think that Vikings team with the rest.
Still no trust in the Saints.
No, I believe in the Saints. I think they're very good. I mean, you saw this past week that why this team's so dangerous in the playoffs is the Panthers shut down
the
best running tandem in NFL history, and Drew Brees was like,
"That's cool,
I got this."
Zach Lyon and Mark Ingram, you mean?
Yeah, Zach Lyon and Mark Ingram. So New Orleans can beat you in any way, but I just think Minnesota's got the home field advantage. Their defense is so fast and so good. I think they'll be able to keep it in contention with New Orleans, and then you got to like their chances of, like, if they because they could ride home field advantage all the way into the Super Bowl. They could. Outrageous.
But I love New Orleans.
Oh, I love New Orleans too. I think that's going to be a great game. But I just decided
they're playing indoors, which is great for them. You know what I mean? It's Breeze versus Case Keenum, and I know Case Keenum's played well, but man. Breeze has showed you he's still got a whole lot left in the tank. As you mentioned, they shut down that run game, and he's like, ah, that's cool.
And yeah.
I'm going to give you the Ted Ginn revenge game.
Must be nice.
These were very different teams when they played back in, like, week two or whatever.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That was in New Orleans, I think.
Yeah.
And
that was week one.
And it was Sam Bradford was the quarterback.
That was in New Orleans, but I think, but that Minnesota that defense game? Still. That Minnesota defense was
oh,
all
right.
Over the
oh,
place.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No doubt about it.
The thing with the Saints is, I mean, they have elite players at every – spot. I mean, Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara have been elite players at running back this year. They have still an elite quarterback in Drew Brees. You saw it yesterday. And Michael Thomas is an elite receiver.
He had 131 yards.
He's uncoverable, especially with Brees throwing him the ball like that. Third
the
down.
Back shoulder one oh. in the game.
So nice.
That was such a great flow because it was a perfect throw and it was a perfect adjustment and catch from Thomas. That was just
was
like
so great,
two
man.
Greats going at it right there, and
yeah,
it was awesome.
It was good, man. It was good.
But I think the Minnesota, you got to like their home field advantage. They've got a strong running game. They've got two concentrated wide receivers if you're looking to replace those guys.
Yeah.
I maybe won't go grab Case Keenum because I think he could – they'll have him probably game manage and put up just enough points while that defense gets it done.
Matt Harmon.
Yeah, I had – when I sent my playoff challenge lineup that was decimated with five players no longer in it.
No!
Not as decimated as Adam Rank. I
true.
Think
he went all in.
All Rams.
He had seven or eight Rams on his roster.
Yes, that's true. I think I sent it in with Vikings originally, and I think I'm going to resend it to you again with Saints this time. Because
that game truly is – I mean –
that's a tough one.
It's a tough one. And, you know, Atlanta winning, by the way, against the Rams, that hurt New Orleans in a way too, right? Because I would have much rather seen – if I'm the Saints, I would have much rather played Nick Foles in the Philadelphia Eagles to try to advance to the conference championship game.
Yeah, no. I mean, the NFC is tough. Like the
NFC is tough.
So tough.
The Falcons are playing some of the best football right now. Like, we're not even talking about them, and I can easily see them getting back to the Super Bowl now at this point.
This is what's so crazy. This is a team left for dead in Week 17. Everyone assumed that they were going to lose, and everyone assumed Seattle was going to win to get that final spot into the playoffs.
This is the problem with football, with covering football, is we just react so harshly within 1 week. Like, you know, to double back, I mean, obviously the Panthers lost yesterday, but people were giving them no shot to beat the Saints. I mean, people were saying they were the weakest playoff team going into
the Panthers?
In the NFC. Yeah, that was definitely the talk after they completely threw up all over themselves fairly in week 17.
Yeah, I did.
I mean, they were hideous.
I put no stock in that.
But look, they battled the hell out of that
Dude,
game.
Absolutely.
That was,
Devin
Funches' arm was hanging limp.
Yeah.
Like,
that was crazy.
Late into the fourth quarter,
still
and he still
it.
Came back.
Exactly.
And people were giving him crap on Twitter for not trying hard enough on that deep, that like last drive
those
where
people,
Cam targeted
people,
him in the end zone. Like,
unbelievable.
Leave the guy alone. He's out there on a busted ankle, I think, and
he rolled
shoulder,
his ankle
and like, you got to give him a guy like that credit for toughing that out.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it.
But, yeah. So
by the way, can I just say Kalen Clay next year?
No.
No? He looked awesome in that game, though.
James, he dropped a sure touchdown.
That's fine.
And
so, that's fine.
I mean, he brings
sleeper, Kalen Clay, give it to me.
He brings some speed to the table,
yeah.
But the problem is I think he's like their third best speed receiver because they have Curtis Samuel coming back. They have Damiere Byrd in there.
Byrd! Your love for Damiere Byrd is
no,
nice. What do you mean? He was good when he got chances this year, and I think they will add a player. I'm fingers crossed that it's a veteran, but I know better than to think I know what they're going to do. So
exactly.
But anyways, yes, I don't think so about Kalen Clay.
Yeah.
But
okay.
Coming back to my point was just like we react so harshly to these things week to week, and like now the Falcons people seem to want to talk about them as one of the favorites. And I'm saying like who the hell knows?
Yeah, the Saints though are a nice one too for playoff challenge because if they beat Minnesota and
they won't
and Philadelphia loses, then the Saints get a home game because they're the three. They were they're not the three. They were the four seed, but they'd still be higher. So
than Atlanta. Yeah.
Yes,
guys. I wasn't a big fan of the broom.
The broom
afterwards.
I don't know what the broom is.
It's because they swept them. They beat them all.
Yeah,
the
swept them.
Oh. Yeah,
I've seen them punch it.
Minnesota beat them in week one. Minnesota may break out their own broom. next Sunday.
True.
You know?
But it's a divisional rival.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know, you know? But wild card.
Because that's
like,
the difference.
Come on, man.
I mean, three times in a row, that is, you know.
That's hard to do.
It is.
I don't know. I'm fine.
Especially with two teams that don't like each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they don't like each other.
All right, fine. Fine, James.
Did you?
I'm of the trash talking, you know, school.
Like, yeah, exactly. Don't liking each other. Did you see what Cameron Jordan called Matt Khalil?
No.
Called him Speed Bump McGee.
Yes.
Oh, man.
He's not wrong.
We should keep moving on our playoff champ stuff here, though.
Franchise, who do you got to replace Todd Gurley at all?
Oh, to replace Todd Gurley, I mean, I would go Deion Lewis or Lev Bell or Latavius Murray. Those are all.
You sound so confident about Minnesota winning this game, though.
I'm all in on the Vikings.
Are you?
As my NFC Super Bowl team.
Ooh.
Yes.
Tell me why.
Because they have the best defense in the NFL.
All right.
They can, if they keep winning, they can hold home field advantage, like Gelhar said.
Second best defense in the NFL, but that's fine.
Second best.
Well, by what's that? Who's the first?
The Jags are the best defense in the NFL.
Is that your opinion, or is that statistically based?
That's a fact.
That's not what our research packet says, okay, buddy?
Oh, so you're just going to double down on their analysis?
Their analysis is based on statistics.
Oh, franchise is getting fired up here.
The Jags are a better defense. When they're at their peak, they're a better defense.
They have
elite players at all levels. They have we're picking hairs here. Yes. But
all right, fine.
They're the second best defense.
Think whatever you want. I think the Vikings are the best defense in the league. These guys have been to get. I mean, Mike Zimmer, come on, give me a break.
Come on,
give me a break.
This is Will Fuller. That was a very Seinfeldian.
Give me a break.
Listen, I loaded up my fantasy playoff challenge lineup with Steelers players and Vikings players because I think those are the two teams that are going to go to the NFL. Don't care about the Patriots. Get them out of my life.
Go to the NFL.
Go to the Super Bowl. Get the Patriots out of my life. So I got Latavius Murray and Lev Bell as my running backs.
Yeah.
If you lost Todd Gurley or Kareem Hunt, you could throw one of those guys in there.
Okay. There you go.
And I got Antonio Brown. I saw a report this morning that I think Rap Sheet said Antonio Brown looks like he's going to be 100% for this game this weekend. I like Kyle Rudolph. I like Chris Boswell. My kicker, I got Ben Roethlisberger as my quarterback. So.
And as always, New England has an easy road to the Super Bowl. I mean,
I know.
It's another bye week practically with Tennessee. And then Jacksonville's just and Pittsburgh are going to absolutely hammer each other.
James, anything can happen in the playoffs.
I mean – yes.
The Titans do have a semi-decent formula to beat them. They have some good pass rushers, and if they, God willing, just keep giving the ball to Derrick Henry, have a solid running game.
New England, I wrote the strengths and weaknesses piece for the AFC, and New England's weakness is the front seven.
Yeah, and New England can't pressure the quarterback. So if Mariota has time, if their offensive line, that's like four first rounders, can get some pressure, and they can do those 9-minute scoring drives like they did in that second half or whatever.
And you know,
they got James Harris.
We always talk about the Patriots when the weather gets cold, giving the rock to their big running back. They got Deion Lewis. They don't have a big guy like that to just ground and pound the second half.
Rex
if the Titans do that with Derrick Henry, they might be able to give the Patriots a taste of their own medicine here.
Let's not just write it off. Also, let's not forget.
I am
let's
completely
not, let's
keep
right.
the ball. Keep the ball out of Tom Brady's hands.
Here's all I will say. Yeah. Last year. Through 30 minutes of that game, Brock Osweiler was positioned to potentially beat the Patriots. Yeah.
Until he brocked.
The Patriots have shown some weaknesses this year.
I'm just saying. It's not a lock.
They have.
It's not a lock.
I think the only chance Tennessee has, and this is what's so sad about this matchup, is Tom Brady has to have an off game. If Kevin Byard and those guys in the secondary can go get Tom Brady a couple times in this ball game, then they got a shot.
Also,
Tom Brady had kind of an off last four or five games.
It's true.
Also,
all right.
Yeah,
okay.
He threw a bunch of picks. Right. Let's not overlook this whole drama going on with the Patriots
behind the scenes
disruptions among ownership and coaching staffs and Tom Brady and
guys,
all
Robert
this
Kraft,
stuff.
Robert Kraft was at the Rams game.
That's why.
I don't know.
I don't get that.
I saw Goodell and Kraft in the tunnel.
That was weird.
I was like, oh, okay.
Why?
I have no idea.
That's just weird.
38-14
He's trying to get in the Falcons' heads. That's what he's doing.
You know what? Pioli and Dimitrov used to work for him. So.
That's true. But still, I mean, once it's playoff time, though, it's bizarre to see an owner of a different team at a playoff game.
Yeah.
Well, he's a
It's power. LA, though.
He's scouting.
I was going to say, he's a high-end owner, probably just wants to see like what the playoff atmosphere is like in
scouting.
Which, to LA's credit, I heard from people that were there that it was
pretty nice.
Pretty raucous.
Yeah, it was like, a really good atmosphere.
Good atmosphere. Heard there were a lot of Rams. I mean, even the bar we were at was pretty packed with people.
Yeah, it was
loaded
up.
I saw, even in Hollywood, I saw people with Rams gear all day.
Yeah, so yeah, good.
It was cool to see.
Good for LA.
All right.
And the haters and losers can suck it.
We should move on here. This is a lengthy podcast already.
Who cares?
Oh, I'm sorry. Am I windbagging too much?
You are bloviating.
Jackass.
We have to bleep that. Right before the show was starting, we were joking. Like, Chris was asking if we keep it breezy. And I was like, yeah, I'm always worried. Francis said we got to worry about James. I said we got to worry about this windbag over here. And he took great offense to that.
Yeah. Sorry.
I like it.
It's a podcast. We're supposed to talk.
Yeah, don't try to censor us, okay?
Yeah. All right, is trying to censor us.
Okay.
We've been talking for 40 minutes, and we've hit four news stories and talked about playoff challenge.
So? What's your
postseason? What do you want?
Four news stories that should have taken us like 15 minutes.
I think the fans got a good, lengthy discussion about it that they can marinate on for the next 5 months.
You know what it is?
It's what?
We actually take the gloves off now. We could just talk about football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We could just talk about football. We'll just keep going.
That's why when Franchise walked in, he was like, ugh, postseason pod. I was like, no way. This is way more fun than having to stick to the same formula every week. Like,
right.
All right, week 15. Let's crank up the meter again.
Start Todd Gurley.
These are the sleepers.
Maybe a deep sleeper.
I think you should probably start this guy. He's not going to do anything.
Replace the batteries.
Replace batteries. Robot power up. Oh, we should probably move on.
Let's move on.
I'm windbagging. We
Let's
should
move on
should
now.
Move on.
Jesus.
Windbagging is definitely going to be a new term around.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm windbagging. Better move on.
It's the title of the podcast today.
Windbagging.
It's funny, too, because we just talked about this on Friday night.
My like tombstone being let's move on.
We should probably move on.
Okay. Let's talk about things I learned in 2017. This was an article written by Marcus Grant. Go find it, NFL.com/Grant. We'll get to three takeaways of, I think he had about five, but injuries certainly was a theme in 2017. Yeah. I would imagine that to normalize there in 2018. Scoring across the board in the NFL was down. I think injuries obviously were a big reason why.
Yeah.
How about rookie running backs? And more to come, too, right? I mean, the rookie running back class was as billed. Maybe even more so, because nobody really thought that highly of Kareem Hunt, and he just came on and just as a rookie won the rushing title. I mean, so he was there. You know, you talk about Alvin Kamara. Again, another guy that we thought, okay, he might be a bit player. He might play a Darren Sproles type role in that Saints offense. He was so much more than that.
Not
it was
quite.
Amazing. Yeah. Leonard Fournette, Christian McCaffrey. Oh, by the way, that catch and run by CMC. Oh my goodness, what the hell?
That took 18 weeks to see something like that.
But again, rookie running back class.
Promising.
Dalvin Cook, who was great early, got injured. He'll be back. I mean, it's
a lot of other guys. Jamal Williams, Aaron Jones, flash for a few weeks.
Good rookie running back
class. A lot of
guys. No question about it. More to come, too. Saquon Barkley from Penn State.
Yeah.
Nick Chubb, Darius Geis from LSU. Nick Chubb from
Ronald
Georgia.
Jones just declared.
Ronald Jones, yeah, signing with the great Lee Steinberg from Cal as well.
I'm going to do a deep dive into the year of the rookie running backs later this week for the website. So.
Nice.
And here's what I'll be interested in to see if you can touch on this at all. Because,
nope.
Okay. Well, here's what I'm interested in.
Purposely won't.
Cool. You know, it's cute when you asked for my help with this article on Friday, and now you're just slandering me in front of the podcast audience. So I'll remember this.
Okay.
Anyways, let's log that one away in the slander folder. But
slander folder.
So the talk now is like, is the bell cow running back or whatever? And to a certain extent, I get that. But we only had one back go over 300 carries this year. That was Le'Veon Bell, led the NFL with 321. Second place was LeSean McCoy with 287 carries.
Okay.
I don't think necessarily that, like, feature backs are back, because you look at a great team like New Orleans has a good committee. Even some of these guys up that are near the top of the league in rushing, they had other players there with, you know, Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen. I think teams are just getting
better and more efficient about using their running backs, especially in the passing game.
Yeah.
And to me, like, that's the question is, you know, we love it when we can get one of these locked in feature backs like a Le'Veon Bell or a Todd Gurley. But with all this talent at the position, is that really realistic? With another, we have a great rookie running back class here come that we just had. Now we've got another one supposedly coming in. Some people are going to be losers in that scenario.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I just wonder who those players will be. And I'm just still just so intrigued to see how teams, like especially with the Rams and Todd Gurley, I thought it was just incredible how they used him in the past. I mean, he had 788 yards off 64 catches. Like, right. That's what I want to see teams do more going forward.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned, you know, 300 carries as a watermark, and I think that was, you know, the case before. But I think to be a true feature back in today's NFL, I'm looking at a guy who can get 350 total touches.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, you got to play in the pass game. Like, right. if you're not just play in the pass game anymore.
Sure.
Now it's being an asset in the pass game.
Right.
Like a Bell or
how many
a
total
Gurley.
Touches did Todd Gurley have this year?
He had 343.
Hello.
Yes.
Good God. Yeah, those are your true.
Melvin Gordon had about that much. Yeah, Shady and Bell. Yeah. And let's see, Jordan Howard clocked in with just under 300.
I mean, basically,
right, he had 23 catches.
Anything over, you know, anything over 320, you're talking, you know, again, bell cow.
It's rarefied air, though.
It is. It is indeed. All right. The other takeaway that Marcus Grant had, the face of the quote-unquote elite wide receivers changed a little bit this year. And I get it. It's a fluid position each and every year, but locked-in guys like Dez Bryant certainly fell off the wayside. He was the wide receiver 24. Mike Evans, who we all pegged as a first-round pick, he was the wide receiver 17. Jordy Nelson just absolutely fell off a cliff. He was the wide receiver 46 in PPR formats. Again, those guys were not elite players this year. We're talking about Dez Bryant, Mike Evans, Jordy Nelson. In their stead, here comes Keenan Allen, who was the wide receiver 3 in PPR. Michael Thomas, who we've highlighted as well. Tyreek Hill and Adam Thielen were top 10 wide receivers in PPR as well. The face of elite wide receivers changing just a little bit here in 2017.
I don't want to sound like a homer, but you know who didn't get mentioned in that breath was Davante Adams.
You're right.
Back-to-back homer. Top 12 years, and he had Brett Hundley for like 6 games.
You're
back-to-back
right.
years with double-digit touchdowns. Like,
well, I mean, when I was thinking elite, I'm thinking you got to be in the top 10 in terms of fantasy anyways. I mean, certainly, look, when we start talking about elite wide receivers in the real game versus fantasy, there's a big difference, you know what I mean? But
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just in fantasy terms.
And Davante Adams is an elite in either one of them, but
back-to-back top 12 years. Back-to-back top 12 years in fantasy.
It's pretty good. No, no, it's
22 touches over the last 2 years.
Yeah, it's
years.
No, it's
22
good.
Touchdowns. Excuse
yes.
me.
Regression. It's gonna hit.
It's gonna.
Yes, when Aaron Rodgers comes back under center, his touchdown regression is gonna hit.
Can't fight math.
You know, there it is.
Look at the numbers,
bro.
you
can't fight the math.
I think Mike Evans is the only one of those guys that comes back, though.
Okay.
I think he boomerangs back into the top 10 next year.
Probably because of target share. Oh, speaking of targets and touches, your takeaways from 2017, Matt Harmon. Go find the piece, NFL.com/Harmon, for your targets and touches takeaway. Give me two stats that did jump out to you this year.
Yeah, a lot of information in the piece. One that did jump out to me, again, talking about the face of running backs changing and perhaps new feature backs. Kenyon Drake averaged 19.3 carries, 923 rushing yards from weeks 13 to 16, and he also caught 14 passes, which seemed a little low to me, but he did have one game where he didn't catch any against Buffalo in week 16. So he's a player that I am going to be pegging to watch during the offseason in terms of does Miami make any moves? Because, I mean, he was incredible in a couple of those starts. Like, eye test, metrics, et cetera. So he's somebody.
All of it.
Yeah, he checked every box. So with all these new running backs coming in, he's definitely somebody that I want to keep an eye on. You know, where does he come in? And another guy who might get lost in the mix of all these great running backs is C.J. Anderson. He was a frustrating player. He was a frustrating player this season, as he always is to own in fantasy. Most of his production came in bulk.
They might let him go, right?
I don't know. He had his first 1,000-yard season. He had 245 carries.
No longer on pace.
Yeah, he's no
he
longer
did it.
On pace. He did it. So he's somebody that I think – like this. He's a perfect example of what I was just talking about, of like these solid veterans, but do they start to fall by the wayside?
I think so.
And even a player like you know, this is maybe a hot take, but like a Jordan Howard, you know, if a new coaching staff coming in, do they want to perhaps change the way, like, I mean, obviously John Fox, ground and pound, very conservative. Howard has shown he is a dud in the past game since he's been
he's
in
a
the
liability.
League. Yeah. Like not even just a not asset, just a,
right.
an
he's
actual
a
li- liability.
Yeah, he's a liability.
So these are the type of players that I'm going to be monitoring. Do they start losing work to some of these young
players? What about Alex Collins? I think is an interesting one too. He finished with a lot of carries.
God, and he
looked really good for a while. Yeah.
Gave their offense like an identity when it didn't have one.
And if they kind of get out of their own way and, you know, don't start the year giving 23 touches a game to Buck Allen and treat Alex Collins as more the featured back and maybe Danny Woodhead as a slight little compliment.
Sure, sure.
Could be a good situation to mine there.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. Another stat that jumped out to you, Matt Harmon.
Yeah, I don't know. Nothing really that we haven't covered.
Fair enough. All right, let's close out your show with a round of daily daps.
Daps!
Daps. Alex Gilhar, we'll start with you.
I'm on a daily dap. I went to
the cinema
last night with my pops. We were winding down. Decided to stop drinking beer for a little while because we went out and had a few beers.
Shocking.
Oh. I know.
Got some coffee.
Right? Yeah, instead got some coffee. Had some cheese popcorn.
You
want to
know,
want to
know
popcorn?
The funniest part? We did actually grab a coffee before we went to the theater.
Shock!
We'd been hitting it hard for a few days, so we were like, oh, we'll have a coffee and go see the movie. But we went to see Hostels, which just came out here. It's on limited release right now. It's a Western starring Christian Bale and Rosamund Pike, and Ben Foster's in it. And the story is that Christian Bale has been in the military for a long time in the late 1800s and is about to retire. And one of the last things he has to do is transport a Native American chief who he had battled a bunch against and really doesn't like. He's dying of cancer in their prison, and the president has said, take him back, escort him back to his homeland so he can die and rest in peace there. So Christian Bale has to get a small detail of guys and transport the chief and his family from New Mexico to Montana.
I see.
So it's a long, grueling journey, and as you can expect, a lot of stuff goes sideways traveling that far in the Old West in the late 1800s. But it's really well acted. There's a lot of really interesting characters, a lot of really interesting topics for the time period. And
who's the director?
Scott Cooper, he's done a couple movies. I think he did Crazy Heart and a few other movies. He's kind of a... He's an up-and-comer, I think, with some
The previews look awesome, man.
It's great. It delivers. It's long and kind of slow, but like deliberately paced because you really feel their epic journey and how much stuff goes on in it. So I thought it was really well done, superbly acted. The characters are all really rich, and I was a big fan of it.
That's great. Matt Franchise, what do you got?
I'm going to daily daps this restaurant in Grand Central Market in downtown L.A. that I went to this weekend called the Sorry Sorry Store.
Okay.
It's the woman
I've been to Grand Central Market.
I love Grand Central Market.
It's a little. I think it just opened this year.
Okay.
It is by Walter Mansky, who owns République, which is like a French cuisine in Hollywood.
You and Ken's love that place.
Yeah, that's one of our favorite spots. He also owns Petty Cash, which is like a Mexican restaurant. His wife Margarita opened this place called the Sorry Sorry Store, and it's Filipino like rice bowls.
Okay.
She's the pastry chef at République, James Beard nominee. All this, she's well renowned. But this is like I think her first solo endeavor.
By the way, you have to save up for about 40 years to go eat there.
At République?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's expensive. It's like a once-a-year thing that me and my fiance do. But,
at most, yeah.
But we discovered Sorry Sorry Store. We were going to go to Egg Slut, which is like a breakfast sandwich place, and the line was like two hours
long. It always is.
I was like, I've had Egg Slut. I'm not waiting 2 hours for an egg sandwich. So we went to the Sorry Sorry Store, and we were so happy we did. I got a pork rib bowl with like garlic rice. The meat fell right off the bone. It was amazing.
Good.
And then she's a pastry chef at République, and she has this coconut cream pie that we got. And outrageously good. So
Grand Central Market is an underrated place if you ever come to LA. Like a lot of people don't go downtown in LA because it doesn't have like the metropolis. Like there's so much else in LA, and there's Hollywood and Beverly Hills and Santa Monica.
See the beach,
but downtown, go to the last bookstore, go get lunch at Grand Central Market. There's actually a lot of fun
stuff to do
downtown.
I agree.
And Grand Central Market is awesome because, like, you're walking through, like, what is that area that it's on? It's like almost like there's like weird shops and it's like kind of like dingy on the street and walk there.
Oh yeah.
And then you go
a lot of homeless people.
You go into Grand Central Market and it's awesome. There's all these delicious restaurants and like little bars and like other places, and it's just great.
It was cool.
I'm underselling it. I love the place, but it is hipster heaven.
Grand Central Market?
It is, yeah, 100%.
Sure.
Because again, you do have to walk through homeless people to get there.
Oh yeah.
That's a hipster favorite.
I feel like there's knockoff watches and like purses being sold on the street right there.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. 100%. Anyways,
but Grand Central Market,
if you visit LA, definitely go visit that.
Go to Sorry Store.
It's cool. All right.
And the last bookstore, though, I'll daily adapt that too, because it's a huge bookstore in an old bank in the banking district. So like you're walking through like vault doors and
it's
stuff,
awesome.
And it's tremendous.
It's awesome. It's definitely awesome. Matt Harmon, what do you got?
I've got two. One, I want to daily dap something the NGS team did this week where they were gifting like a couple of the plays, two of the ones in particular, like just from the dashboard. Like if you go in, like if we, like we can do, the public cannot do this, is go into like the, like on a play by play basis and watch like all the little dots of the players go through. So they gift the Mariota play where he threw the touchdown to himself, and it looks really cool just to watch all the little dots, because you see like who's covering who and all that. It's fun to watch. And so they sent that out in the channel, and
Go ahead. I'll let you finish.
But so they sent that out in the channel, and apparently one of the people from our social team here said, "There's nothing here for this," and I was like, "Oh, BS."
What?
Like,
what?
Yeah, whatever. So I was like, "Well, that's dumb." So I tweeted that out.
Yeah.
And it got a lot of the Mariota one, of course, got a lot of good play, and I was like, "This is good. We should do this."
It's funny because there's the tracker on the ball, so you see the ball go out, and then it bounces right back to him, and then he runs it in.
And they did the same thing for the Jalen Ramsey one too, where you see him bat the ball up to himself.
Cool.
And catch it. So those are cool.
They're just the little dots, but it is really fun to see. It's an awesome visualization of all the players moving in concert on the field.
Yeah. And it's totally clear.
It's totally clear.
Absolutely. There's a lot, when you see the humans run around, there's a lot of moving parts.
Exactly.
But like, when you watch just the dots, you're like, oh, okay, I get exactly where everyone is.
Yeah. Like the all 22 film is so much more chaotic, but for some reason these little dots, it's just like the ballet, and it's so cool.
It's funny to watch the dots too, when you like see a dot stop on a play and then you go and like watch the video of it and you're like, oh, that guy got destroyed and he's laying on the ground. that's why his dot just stayed there and the play went on.
It's fun to see. So right. Daily Daps, one to that. And also last night started watching finally the Handmaid's Tale.
Nice.
First three episodes of that.
That's on Hulu.
It. Yes.
Yeah.
That's the one service I do not
winning
have.
A bunch of awards.
Okay.
Yeah, blew through the first three episodes of that last night.
Good show.
Very good. Very
it's a little
good.
Weird, but it's really good.
Definitely weird, but I like weird and dark.
No. The book is great.
I don't read.
Yeah.
Well, wow. All right. Yeah. Illiterate tries.
Hey, listen.
Hey, he didn't say he can't read. He said he doesn't read.
I only read computer science.
Also, if he's illiterate and he's been back reading our copy for the last
four years. That makes a lot of sense.
Well, listen, your copy's been a mess, so you're lucky that I'm here to back read it for you.
That's great. I will daily dap. I went out to Las Vegas for the weekend, as we mentioned off the top, but had a great stay there. I stayed up late entirely too often, and because that was when you can let loose a little bit, because you know the kiddo's asleep. She's asleep upstairs with the wife, and I go downstairs and I do man things.
There's no sleeping in Vegas.
Yeah, there's no sleeping.
That is what it is.
But I had a good time, so it was a lot of fun.
Did you go to any shows or anything with the fam?
No. You know what we did? We first of all, we walked the strip, went to a bunch of hotels. I mean, it's just sightseeing, And the kiddo wanted to go to the M&M store.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. I love M&M's.
Oh, my God.
I think they're my favorite candy.
It is actually quite a boring time.
Yeah.
I'm surprised by that. M&M's your favorite?
Yeah.
Peanut M&M's?
No. Although I will say, I publicly said this on Twitter yesterday, I ate some peanut butter pretzels at my apartment.
Okay. And what's the verdict?
Prove it.
So good.
Prove it.
Good.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
You can go dig through my trash.
The ones from Trader Joe's with the peanut butter inside?
Oh, no. This was just from 7-Eleven.
Oh, man, what?
Because I pulled a Gelhar, and I was, like, in the middle of the game, and I was like, man, I'm tired. Let me just go walk. And I was like, I don't feel like making coffee at my place, like, and the only thing I can walk to in the middle of, like, between the quarters is 7-Eleven. So I just went and got some crappy 7-Eleven coffee.
Oh, bro, don't tell your hipster audience that.
I know. Sorry, guys. I'm very open with the fact that I'm a fake hipster.
A faux hipster.
So while I was there, I was like, I get something to snack.
I actually think it's actually quite hipster to occasionally mix in the 7-Eleven coffee. It gives you the hipster cred.
Well, yeah, right? Like, because here's the thing. Like, I'm drinking coffee, like, this is not like a religious experience for me. Like, I just need to wake up a little bit.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If this will do the job, I promise.
It's no $5 pour over, but it'll get the job done.
Yeah. Like, I'm just here for to wake up a little. So give me.
I just saw a funny tweet I want to share with everybody. Somebody said
you're kind of windbagging.
No.
Let's go to your
Tommy. Tommy Wiseau would make a very effective Real Housewife. I've never watched an episode of The Real Housewives, but if it was like five crazy women and Tommy Wiseau,
oh my god,
I might tune in for that.
I watch some Housewives.
I would too. That'd be a good mix. I like it a lot.
Could you imagine his one-on-one interviews?
Yeah. I don't know what she says. She's a great person, though.
I don't know what happened with James Franco last night, but he boxed him out of the microphone.
If you would box out Tommy Wiseau too.
Don't let this guy embarrass himself. I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, watch The Room and you'll get it.
Okay.
Yeah. You'll get why he boxed him out.
Producer Chris, close us out.
All right, guys. Now that the NFL regular season is over,
yes.
I like to crush football books, whether reading them or listening to them on Audible. So
okay.
Nice.
I just want to read off a list of a few that I'm currently reading.
Nice.
Belichick and Brady, which I think is pretty relevant and cool. I started reading it the day before all the stuff broke, so I think it's pretty cool to listen to it now. Above the Line with Urban Meyer, which is solid. And then I was telling you guys, I got that book.
The one that's hard to get.
Find the Winning
Edge.
Oh,
you found it?
I found it. I got it mailed to my house.
Wow.
And if you don't want to buy it because it's a lot of money, they have one on Audible. The Score takes care of itself. It's like an adaptation of Bill Walsh.
Yeah, interesting.
So, anyway, football books.
Nice. Yeah, you'll have to let me know how Finding the Winning Edge is because that's an all-timer.
Yeah, it's nice. Like 800 pages.
Did we talk about it on the podcast or did we talk about it offline?
I think we talked about it offline.
How
yeah.
hard it is to find this book. Like, Bill Walsh authored it. There like aren't any copies being printed anymore.
But why?
Like, the people have it. I don't know. But it's become like the ultimate collector's item, and like sometimes because I was looking to try and find it once, and people will sell this book for like over $1,000.
Oh my goodness!
You can find cheaper versions.
I know, but why
don't
they just print more books?
I don't know. I don't know what the deal is.
I got it for markedly cheaper than $1,000.
Yes, like I was saying, you can find it, but like I
hope so.
When I Googled it, well, we all know the money we make at this place. I'm assuming Chris isn't his wife didn't authorize $1,000 book purchase on eBay.
No, that'd be amazing.
But it's a fashion. There was a big article written about it and like how hard it was to find too. But like it's really fascinating. If you want to waste like an hour, just Google this book and read some of the stuff about it. Finding the Winning Edge. It's awesome.
Beautiful. Beautiful. All right, that's your show for the WizKid from Wisconsin. Alex Gilhar, Matt Harmon, Matt Franchise, and producer Chris. I'm James Coe. We will see you Thursday.
See you later.